Bible study this morning on angels, obviously. You got the handout. I wasn't supposed to be here today. I'm supposed to be preaching elsewhere. And the church I was supposed to be preaching in, they all have COVID. They shut the church down. So I found out yesterday. And I've done this lesson before, probably been 2 or 3 years since I've taught this lesson. And we're really going to look this morning at not the fallen angels. That's a whole nother lesson I could do. We're going to look at God's angels, those who did not rebel against the Lord. And well, let's have a word of prayer and look at these two portions of Scripture to get started. And then I'll say a few more things and we'll kind of get into this. So honestly, this is more a fact sheet just from the Bible, what the Bible says about angels, I suppose, and it is a particular lesson. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but let's pray together. Father, we ask that you'd bless our Sunday school hour, that you would guide and direct us, just teach us, Lord, as only you can. You, Holy Spirit, if you'd just speak to our hearts and draw each of us closer to you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather today. We pray for those that might be traveling this holiday weekend. Watch over them. We think of those maybe not feeling well. Some of our number or friends or relatives that we know that are struggling with the virus, we pray, Lord, that your healing hand would be upon them. But just give us a great day in church today. The Sunday school hour, the morning worship service, be with the classes downstairs and the students. We pray that you'd be with the junior church to follow. Lord, those that are teaching in junior church, just use them to touch the hearts and minds of the children. But thank you again for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come. We look forward to this next year, that it would just be a great year. We pray that you'd use each of us to bring honor and glory to you, that souls would be won for the kingdom, that we would serve the kingdom in such a way that it would bring glory to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in Matthew chapter number 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. She called his name Jesus. So if you, and I'm sure all of you, as I look out this morning, are aware of this, all through the account of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we see angels. We looked a couple of weeks ago in the Gospel of Luke, we saw the angels announcing to Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. We saw the angels appearing before the shepherds, Mary, and here, the warning, just throughout the account of Christ's birth. So if you notice on your handout, angels play an integral and important part in the birth of our Lord and Savior. But what do we really know about angels? There's a lot of, we'll see from the Bible, but there is a lot of error of what and how people think about angels. And we should really be careful of that. This is probably a strong position, maybe stronger than your position would be, but when we embrace the idea of angels that is an error, we're really, in some ways, it's an attack on the Scriptures. Because it's the Bible, the Word of God. It would be like, well, maybe this is too strong, but it would be like changing the gospel. there's specific things that the Bible says about angels. We need to be careful that we, much of what people know about angels, they get from television or from TV shows or from some kind of media. I was speaking with Charlie a little bit before. You see the picture at the top of this handout? So when I do these lessons, I go on the internet, and you could type in images. Like you could type in Christmas images, and these little pictures come up. So I typed in Christmas and angels. And this particular image I really liked because there are no pictures of angels in it. Because the majority of the pictures that you pull up on the internet that show angels are extremely unbiblical. There's a lot of the Christmas cards that get sent. The angels that are on those Christmas cards are nothing that are depicted in the Bible. And it's important for us to know. And now that's why I had you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and why it's important for us to know. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just a couple of points here. Like, for instance, look at verse 3. This is Paul's warning to the Christians. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And then he warns here in verse 4, "For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And you can just do a comparative study sometimes just amongst groups that claim to be Christian groups, and depending upon what their doctrine is, in some ways they bring another Jesus. Do a comparative study with regards to Mormonism and Bible-believing Christianity, and the Jesus that's presented in Mormonism is not the Jesus of the Bible. And Mormons could be very, and I'm sure if you know them, they're very nice people. There's atheists that are very nice people. It's not the thought isn't, are they nice people or are they not nice people, but what does the Bible say? And then we're also reminded here, as Paul gives a defense of his position, he says, look down at verse number 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You read through Paul's epistles, and many, many times there are warnings there for you and I to be careful of what we embrace. So, having said that, this lesson this morning is, let me read on. So in the middle of this little paragraph here, angels are mentioned 273 times in the Bible, 108 times in the Old Testament, and 165 times in the New Testament. So they appear in 34 of the 66 books of the Bible. "The initiative in spiritual revelation lies wholly with God. Men can know only that God reveals to them about the spiritual and supernatural. We can know nothing about angels apart from revelation." And here's how they've been revealed to us, right here in the Word of God. And we've already read, be careful, that again, I'm not doing a lesson on fallen angels, but we know that there was a great rebellion in heaven. Lucifer rebelled against God. And a third of the angels rebelled with him. And so we should be careful of some of these things. So let's look on this. This is really kind of a fact sheet or a worksheet for you to look at and just get some ideas with regards to really what angels are all about. So number one, we know this. We know that the Bible teaches us that they are innumerable beings, an innumerable number. Two verses of Scripture here. Revelation 5:11, "And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." So in other words, there's a lot of them. Amen? And we don't really know how many, probably more than we could even imagine. Hebrews says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." So just a vast amount of angels, spirit beings. And of course we know that the Bible teaches us that they are created beings. Colossians teaches us that. "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, all things were created by Him and all things were created for Him." I didn't really put this down on the handout. I forgot. It's in the book of Job. But does anybody know when the angels were created? Well, let me just make this easier. Were they created before man was created, or were they created before or after man was created? Anybody know the answer to that? Who said after? You said after. Are you taking a guess, aren't you? You feel positive. All right. So who believes that Adam's got the correct answer? Charlie, he's just helping you out here. Actually, it seems to indicate in the Bible that they were created before man was created. And but it was a good guess. You had a 50-50 chance of... Go right ahead.
Okay, so there wasn't really... like you brought up Job. There wasn't really a need for angels because then... before man had become wicked and vile. So like that's why I said after, because you don't really hear about them.
But Satan was an angel and he was thrown out.
Yeah, and now I feel like a moron.
Go ahead. Very good. Very good.
No, I forgot all about
that. Go ahead, say that.
Now I feel dumb.
Okay,
Lydia, go ahead. That was very good.
Okay. Adam is incorrect because
you didn't have to say it out loud.
Satan was an angel and then he was thrown out of heaven. Yeah. Lucifer.
Right. Yeah. So how does that prove him wrong?
Well, because then he was in the garden and he went as an angel. Or as a, not an angel, as a serpent.
So then you'll see the snake.
Yep.
All right, let's think about that for a minute. I think you are right. But does it distinctively say that why couldn't have God have created... why couldn't God have created man, then created the angels, then Lucifer rebelled, and then in the garden, he tempted Eve and Adam?
Well, with the fall, do we know exactly how long they were in the garden before the fall?
Not really.
Could have been thousands of years.
Could have been. We don't really know. Well, that's why they call it. That's why they call it paradise.
Who are you?
I don't know. I'm just throwing these things out here. Get your minds working here on New Year's, the day after New Year's.
So, not likely that it was thousands of years, but it only had to be, I don't know, a couple weeks.
Yeah. I should have, and I'm sorry, I've got to look this back up, but in the book of Job, it seems to indicate that the angels were created, they were there with the creation of the world. I'll get the answer to that. Now nobody will be listening to me now. You'll all be in the book of Job looking for that. Ethan's looking for it now, so he'll give it to you. Yes, Jim.
Years ago, I don't know exactly when, but Jim Thompson brought a Bible study, and he kind of pointed out the second day of creation, God created the heavens, and it's the only day that God did not say it was good. So it's saying it indicated that possibly Satan rebelled at that point.
Well, somebody check that out and see if that's true. Go.
Job 38, verse 7.
What? put it up, I got up on the screen. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and in. No, that's not Job. Oh. Go ahead and put that up on the screen. Yeah, whereupon on the foundations thereof fastened, or who did lay the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's, most Bible teachers believe that that is a verses that are referring, the morning stars are angels, and they were there at the very foundation of the earth. And by the way, one of the things... Pardon me?
The phrase, the sons of God.
Yeah, that's a whole... Right, that's a whole other lesson. But I think we're going to see, too, one of the things that Adam said was God didn't need angels because he hadn't created man yet. But what is everything created for?
To glorify.
Everything is created to glorify God. And the angels are used, and we'll see as we get into this lesson, to minister to mankind, but they're also created to glorify God. Anyhow, let's quickly move on here just so we get some of these things. So they're created beings. They're spiritual beings. I don't know if on yours, but I have that the next point was spiritual beings. Mine's not on there. On the next page, does it say spiritual beings at the top? Okay. Of the angels, who he saith, he maketh angels spirits. So we know that. That's why they're different than humans. They don't have flesh and blood like human beings have. We know that they're emotional beings. There's joy, the Bible says, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I was thinking about this morning. As I was driving the bus. There was a young woman who we asked to pray for on Wednesday night who has cancer, and she died. I said Wednesday, she was terminal. Well, when she was a little girl, she rode our bus to Sunday school. She was a relative of a family that attended regularly at that time. And she made a profession. I'm going to make an assumption. I can't really say this definitively. But I'm pretty sure that she made a profession of faith. This is a young child. And as many, many young children that we've picked up over the years, really hundreds, and I don't know if she was in church anywheres at this particular time. I don't know how much her Christian faith grew or didn't grow. But I've always held out hope that, and maybe I'll be proved wrong when I get to heaven. But I've always been motivated to have a bus ministry to reach children, present the gospel to their hearts when they were young. They make decisions for the Lord. We all understand that decision, to be truly a decision, it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction to their young hearts. And then they grow up and they're not really all that involved in church. I just believe that if God's Holy Spirit spoke to them as a child and they made that decision for Christ, that they got saved. And that's my hope. That is my hope. And I hope that happened with this young woman, whether she was serving the Lord at this point in her life or not serving the Lord. Because the Bible, listen, it's filled with examples of people who were followers of the Lord or accepted the Lord, and then they got away from the Lord, and then they came back to the Lord. I don't know how all those dynamics work, but that's why I always presented the gospel, giving people tracts and talk to people, and that's my hope. And, that's my hope. And so I thought about that this morning. I was driving the bus, however long that she came. This is a long time ago, over 20 years ago. Because I know we've always, in our Sunday school, junior church, we've emphasized the gospel. We emphasize the gospel. So that's my hope. That day, Lord willing, if that young girl accepted Christ, and the day that you accepted Christ, the angels rejoice over that. There's a great rejoicing that takes place. And so angels, they're emotional beings. They're intelligent beings. We know that from Daniel. Yea, Daniel said, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. They're powerful beings, greater in power and might, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Now, these are those that Peter talks about that are attack spiritual things and attack the things of God. Spirit, they're superior beings in many ways to you and I. That won't probably always be the case, but Hebrews says this, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. By the way, that's why Paul writes in Ephesians, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why he says, take on the armor of God. Because the fallen angels have powers as well. And again, that's another lesson for another time. But they're ministering beings. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And he said this, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So God, and we see it throughout the Bible. We saw it in what we read this morning just with regards to Joseph. They ministered to Joseph. They ministered to the shepherds. They ministered to Zacharias and Elizabeth. They ministered to Daniel. They ministered when Peter was in prison. They ministered all throughout the scriptures. They're ministering beings that the Lord uses to minister to you and to I. They're eternal beings, like humanity. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. So, just as mankind is eternal, and you spend eternity in one of two places, amen? You spend eternity in heaven or you spend eternity in hell. You spend the angels, because you do not die, but the angels don't die either. That's why, again, if we were doing a study on fallen angels, there are angels that the Bible seems to indicate that are imprisoned right now. Just another fact, eternal beings. So these are just some of the characteristics that are laid out in the Bible to kind of give us an idea of the angels. But then we have here the rankings of angels. So we have what the Bible calls the archangels. Now Michael is called an archangel. The word Michael, or the name Michael, it means who is like God. Now Gabriel is never referred to in the Bible as an archangel, though we think of him as an archangel. He's thought to have been an archangel. And his name means the mighty one of God. Jude says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Then you have the cherubims. And here's where nobody ever, this would be kind of strange to see pick one of these on a Christmas card, wouldn't it? A cherubim. So a cherubim in the Bible, cherubims have four faces. They have, huh?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, okay. They have the face of a man. They have the face of a lion. They have a face of an ox. They have the face of an eagle. They're described having two pair of wings. They have legs of men, but their feet are like calves' feet. They have four hands, and they seem to travel in a group of four, forming a square. Now, let's take your Bibles for a minute. Turn to the book of Ezekiel. So this can be a little confusing, because in Ezekiel, they're called living creatures, and then yet later on you'll see there are other angels that are also called living creatures that are a little different. Ezekiel chapter number 1. Maybe pick it up in verse number 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. And as the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they had four the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. You get that? Can you imagine that? Pretty hard to imagine that. And they went, everyone, straight forward, whether the spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. And for their and the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. You've got to really kind of let your imagination go with all of this here. And the cherubims are, you've probably seen pictures of the Ark of the Covenant. And the cherubims were the two wings touching over the Ark of the Covenant. But they're not necessarily, you don't see all the different faces and everything that's described here either. The cherubims, if you notice on your handout, they're first mentioned in the book of Genesis. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We're in Exodus 25, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work shall thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. So we have the archangels, we have the cherubims, and these seem to be in rank. Archangels, you know, it'd be kind of like in the military, I suppose. You have your generals, and then you have your colonels, and then you have your majors, and that kind of a thing. But then you have the seraphims, and they are the burning ones. And there, I have it for you on your handout here. I think this is the only time, I believe, that they're mentioned in the Bible. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. When twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And of course, they're there, and what they're saying is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And that's their responsibility. And then you have the living creatures that are mentioned in the Bible. We'll look more at this as Pastor Ethan continues his study in the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights. But these have similarities to the cherubims and the seraphims, but there only seems to be four of them. And they're covered with eyes, the Bible says. and one has the face of a man, the face of a lion, an ox, and an eagle. For Revelation says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf. The third beast had a face of a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. No, I don't have the... Who's got these? I don't have my back sheet. I need my... No, I'll get one. All right, then on the back here. So I've already mentioned that there's kind of a ranking, but we're taught that in the Bible as well. These angels, and there's a ruling rank to them. So Ephesians says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above and all principalities and powers and might and dominion. It's a reference to different rankings and different responsibilities. And everyone that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. By the way, there's another part that Ephesians reminds us that the angels watch us. And they learn from us in our relationship with the Lord. So they not only rejoice over one sinner that repenteth, but they watch the church, meaning we who make up the church. Observe us. The Bible seems to indicate that there are guardian angels. Because sometimes you hear about that. You hear about the term guardian angel. There's no term in the Bible that says guardian angel. That's a term that we've come up with. It's like the word Trinity is not found in the Bible either. But we have an entire doctrine that we've built called the doctrine of the Trinity. I prefer to use the word Godhead because the Bible uses that word. But Matthew says, in the book of Matthew, it says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So many people look at that and they think that it's a reference to a person having a guardian angel. Would certainly give me a sense of peace to know that God's assigned an angel to watch over me. I need to be watched over. Amen? And so there seems to be an indication of that there. And then angelic activities as it relates to humans. So here's just a few things. And this, by the way, is not an extensive list of everything that angels do, obviously. But again, it was just to kind of give you an idea of what the Bible says with regards to angels. So angelic activities as it relates to you and I. Well, we read this morning in there in Matthew, they proclaim the message of God, and all throughout the scriptures we see that. Let me just make sure you're still engaged. So give me a fairly well-known Old Testament account of the angels bringing the message of God. Think of the book of Genesis.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You're right, the angels. And there, by the way, and I think I don't know if I have this on here or not, but in that account, what form did the angels take? They look like mankind. So we've read some of these descriptions of angels and that are in the Bible, but we also know in the scriptures that they can take on the form of humanity. I can't think of the Bible ever. Whenever they're mentioned in the Bible, taking on the form or human form, I don't think there's ever a reference to them taking on a female human form in the Bible. It's always a male. Unless somebody can think of another example of that, but I'm pretty sure it's always
a male. Donkey.
Pardon?
Baal the donkey. Don't know if it was a male or a female. No, that was just the voice of an angel.
Baal's, yeah.
Well, in Hebrews, which we got later, it doesn't specify either when it says you minister unto somebody, you could be ministering unto.
Right.
So that's
very good point. Yeah, it's good. I didn't think about that, but that's true. All right. What's that?
It doesn't specify in the fiery furnace either.
It doesn't specify in the fiery furnace. Yep.
What does it even say? It's a man who sits in another.
Yeah, well, yes, go ahead, Seth.
In the Sodom and Gomorrah account before, it was the men appeared to Abraham. And one of them was the Lord. And only two of them went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Those were the angels.
Right. So those are Christophanies in the Old Testament where Jesus appears, and that's another lesson. Jesus appears prior to his being born into this world. Good point. All right, we're almost out of time. So they, by the way, I've read this. I'm not sure, but I've read some other things. Someone once said they proclaim the message of God, but they never proclaim the gospel. God gives that responsibility to mankind. I don't know if we can specifically say that or not. I shouldn't have even said that because I would tell you why I think that, but you'll have to wait. I'm not going to get into it. It'll create a whole discussion here. Anyhow, they protect the people of God. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Many, many stories. Many missionaries have had stories I've read of things that have happened. And by the way, if you ever want a very small book on angels, that's pretty, it's a great book to read. There's a book called God's Secret Agents. I think it was written by Billy Graham like 40 years ago. And it just gives a real easy to read description of angels, their responsibilities. Not a thick book, it's fairly small. And I'd recommend you that you read that if you want to get some more information here. They're sometimes in our presence unawares. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So we've already mentioned they have the ability to take on human form. My stepfather once told me, and he was a very serious student of the Bible. He wasn't he was a great student of God's Word, a man of God. I was thankful both my father and my stepfather were. But he was in the catacombs in Rome, going through the catacombs. And he wasn't 100% sure, but he was down there and he had an experience. And he felt, and he's not the type of person to say these kinds of things. You know, some people, they go around every corner and there's some kind of supernatural thing. So he thought for sure that maybe he had had an experience with an angel in the catacombs. Again, he's the type of man I took seriously when he would mention these things because it was very rare that he would say anything like that. Anyhow, lastly, they are present at a believer's death. Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. It's a comforting thought as well, wouldn't you say? I mean, it is for me that God, you know, when we approach that point in our lives, that God ministers to us our entire lives. He's, of course, promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And we've looked at some of these characteristics here and what angels do as their messengers, protecting us and things of that nature. But from birth right up until death, the angels are active in the Lord's ministry. So we kind of went over this quick. I hope it was beneficial. I mean, it's the kind of thing, you know, I did. You can kind of tuck it away at home somewhere if you're ever thinking, what about these angels thing? You can pull it out. And it's just a reference, kind of a lesson this morning. So if you have any more questions about angels, ask Ethan. And he'll fill you in all the details. Let's pray. Father, bless now our morning worship service. Let it bring honor and glory to you. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you for the freedoms that we still have to open it, to read it, to make application to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.